Hey everyone, welcome back to Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. I'm your host, Kevin Kell. Thank you for joining me again on podcast number two. Today we're going to go through the intro into Genesis, as I explained earlier on the first podcast. We're just going to set up the book so that we can start going through some of the major stories and start defending those. So I'm really excited about this. So make sure you grab your Bible, make sure you grab some notes and a pen and paper. Pen and paper to take, any kind of notes that you need on this. So it'd be very good. So, like I promised, I have some verses I want you to memorize. First one is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, those are the two scriptures we're going to memorize. That's going to come into play as we get farther into the teachings. We're going to go over meditation on God's word. And so as you store these up in your heart, I suggest you put them on a card, a little index card that you can just revolve around them and go, circle through them and get them on your heart and your mind and ready to spew out when needed. But start with that Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:27. So with that, we're going to get started. Let me just open us up in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this time. I just pray that you would teach us and grow us in your word, help us to develop a heart for this book and just your word in general. Thank you so much for Jesus and all that he's done for us. And we just pray and lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get started. I got my notes with me. So Genesis, the word Genesis means origins. It's really a book of origins and really the book of our origins as people. And whether we believe that or not, God is giving some, showing us what happened at the beginning of this world so that we could answer some of those major questions. Where did we come from? Where do we go when we die? Some of those things. Why do bad things happen to good people? But God in Genesis, it's a book of origins. And he wants us to know this book, to study this book, and to love this book like the rest of his scriptures. So let's dive in. Genesis, like I said, means origins. And there's 11 divisions in the book of Genesis. And it usually has, this is the generations of Abraham. This is the generations of Isaac. This is the generations of Jacob. There's 11 of those divisions. And it's showing us the importance of this book because it's the start of human families, of your human family. This book is about the origin of the world. So it's a very important, it's a foundation of our faith. If someone could say, well, this story did not happen, that puts a stumbling block, that puts a shakiness to the house that we're building in the Lord. So we need to understand and know that, and we don't need to be scared because these stories occurred, these stories happened, and there is proof to show that some of the people are real. There's proof to show that the stories occurred. There's things to show that these things have happened. And we need to not back down from that. So with that, the emphasis of Genesis, let's talk about that. Genesis 1 through 11 talks about from the creation of the universe to Abraham. Then when you go from 12, Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 50, you go from Abraham to Joseph who enters into Egypt. So the first 11 chapters are about 200,000, two, sorry, not 200,000, 2,000 years of history about how the world was created. Sin, Adam and Eve, the garden, the flood, Tower of Babel. But that includes the creation of the universe in about 2,000 years. Genesis 12 through 50, Abraham to Joseph, is only about 350 years of history. So if you think about it, as people, God puts most of the emphasis on man, what happens with man, sacrifice, redemption, and what happens with this group of people that he's using for 350 years. That to me is amazing. The emphasis is where God wants us to really put our hope, our mind, and our concentration. Now, it doesn't make Genesis 1 through 11 less important. But let me give you another example. Another example of this is there's 89 chapters in the Gospels. Four of those chapters are the first 30 years of Jesus' life. There's not really that much. The rest of the chapters, about 85 chapters, covers the last 3 years of his life. 27 of those chapters cover about the final 8 days of his life. Where is the emphasis? Is it when Jesus was before he was 30? No, God wants us to put this emphasis here, but that part is still important. So same thing with Genesis 1 through 11. It's important, but what's mind-blowing to me is that he cares about man. See, he said, when you cry, I put your tears in a bottle. He says, even if your mother and father forsake you, I never will. Says, I don't, if one sparrow falls to the ground, he knows about it. And he goes, how much more does he know the numbers of hair on your head? That's how much he cares about man. And it's amazing. And it's a blow mine. So with that introduction in Genesis and Matthew, I think, are very key books. Genesis is a key to opening up the Old Testament. Matthew is a key to opening up the New Testament. Genesis to me is like a bud on a, a bud of a beautiful rose that opens up the rest of the testimony for us to read. One of the key books. Genesis is mind-boggling and it's worth studying. The authorship is composed and written by Moses. Genesis 1:11 stands as one of the most controversial sections of Scripture. Let's think about it. You have one of the most controversial verses in all of Scripture, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our memory verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's our memory verse. And it goes to show, it goes against all pantheism, it goes against Darwinism, evolution, it goes against everything this world has to offer. God spoke the universe, one word, universe. He spoke it. It's the most controversial scripture, one of the most controversial scriptures in all the Bible. But then you also have stories like the flood, a worldwide flood. We also have the Tower of Babel. Guys, where people were building a structure, then all of a sudden abandoned it because the language was confused. God tells us why. Then you have Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of people don't believe that story occurred. Then you have the children of Israel come from Canaan to Egypt, back over through Jericho, back to Canaan again. The Exodus, splitting of the Red Sea, which is an Exodus, but the beginning of that is in Genesis when they enter into the land of Egypt. So these stories they're hard, they're difficult. But a God who created the heavens and the earth can perform these stories as well. Apart from the book of Genesis, there would be no reliable history before the antediluvian period, before the flood. Apart from the book of Genesis, there's no explanation for Israel. We wouldn't understand the rest of the Old Testament. It's very foundational to understand our faith, to understand the Bible. You have to understand the book of Genesis. What is interesting about this is the book of Genesis is quoted from or alluded to at least 200 times in the New Testament. None of these references ever states that Moses is the author, even though it's tradition that most Christians, church fathers, the Jews believe that Moses was the author of those first five books, including the book of Genesis. Moses is mentioned by name 80 times, but 25 refer to specific passages. There's also this reliance from the Bible, from the book of Genesis. The New Testament, 165 passages from Genesis that are either directly quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament, and at least 200 quotations or allusions to the book, and half of them come from Genesis 1 through 11. That is amazing. Half of these allusions come from the book of Genesis. These guys did not think this was a fairy tale. They did not think this was a parable. They did not say these are good words to live by. Just as it happened here, it's going to happen here. Just in the days of Noah, so it will be like when the Son of Man comes, like in Matthew. Just like in the days of Lot, so it will be like when the Son of Man comes, like in the book of Luke. The names mentioned throughout the Bible. Adam is mentioned in three, Deuteronomy, Job, and First Chronicles. He's even mentioned in the First Chronicles genealogy. This father begat this father. This father begat this father. Adam begat Cain and Abel because they believe that was part of their history. Noah is mentioned in First Chronicles, Isaiah, Ezekiel, He's known in Ezekiel as a righteous man. Books that mention Adam or Noah in the New Testament, Matthew, Luke, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, and many others. Abraham's mentioned 15 books in the Old Testament and 11 books in the New Testament. Jacob's mentioned for 20 books in the Old Testament and 17 in the New Testament. Why? Because they knew and believed that these guys were real people, characters, and their history. If books that mention Adam or Eden were removed in the Old Testament, that would be 26% of the Old Testament. That is a lot. Why? Because these people knew that these older generational people were part of their history. This impact of the book affects many things. Like I said, it's the origins. It's the origins of life. Where did we come from? How was the world made? And I just want to list a few. The origin of the universe, of writing, the solar system, life, sex, marriage, authority in the family, evil, language, writing, government, religion, creation, sin, labor, work, civilization, murder, sacrifice, races, languages, redemption, cities, and Egypt. Even starts the relationship between Israel and Egypt. But Genesis is not only a book for one to consider the history, it's also a book we should consider for our future because it's fulfilled in the book of Revelation. When John writes Revelation, he's very aware of what's going on in Genesis, and he points out the things that Jesus or God is fulfilling in the final book of the Bible. The division of light and darkness and creation. In the end, in Revelation, it says there's no need for light because of God's glory. There's no need for the sun or moon. Man is prepared in a garden. Now he's prepared in a city. God prepares a city for him. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden. Now the tree of life is throughout the city with access to all that everyone can have. God is walking in the garden only with Adam and Eve. Now he's dwelling among his people. The ground is cursed, Genesis 3. There's no more curse. Daily sorrow from sin, no more sorrow. Thorns and thistles, no more pain. Sweat on the face, tears wiped away. He tells Adam and Eve, you'll return to the dust. You'll return to the dust. But there's no more death. As a believer in Christ, evil is continual, starting with sin in Genesis 3. But nothing defiles will be able to enter into heaven, it says. Nothing unclean, nothing sinful. Adam and Eve are clothed with coats of skin because of the sin. God was using that blood sacrifice to clothe them, to say, hey, it's because of blood that you're released from your sins. In Revelation 19, Jesus clothes his believers, his saints, with fine white linen, like a wedding dress, which is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19. Satan is opposing in the beginning. In the end, he's banished. The Redeemer is promised. In the end, redemption comes. Babylon reigns in Genesis 11. Babylon is destroyed at the end of Revelation. These are all good news for our future, so we can understand. So Revelation, the whole book of Revelation, the foundation is the book of Genesis, because there's many more comparisons you could even make. Another question we want to ask ourselves, is there any doctrine that we believe that doesn't have its roots in the book of Genesis? Salvation, Trinity, and many more. We need to think through that. All 11 chapters are alluded to somewhere in the New Testament. Jesus himself quoted from or referred to something or someone in one of these chapters, including specific references to each of the first 7 chapters. The authors of the New Testament, Jesus himself, took the book of Genesis as literal history, as I said before. And I want to share some of these with you. Matthew 24 quotes Noah, just like in the days of Noah, so it will be like when the Son of Man comes. Mark talks about marriage in the Garden of Eden. Luke teaches on Lot and says, "A son of man will be like in those days." John says, "If you don't believe what Moses wrote, you won't believe me." In the book of Acts, Joseph was mentioned taking his family into Egypt. Romans mentions Abraham about salvation. 1 Corinthians mentions Adam. 2 Corinthians, Eve and temptation. Galatians mentions Abraham. 1 Timothy mentions Adam and Eve. 2 Timothy, Moses. Hebrews mentions Melchizedek. James mentions Abraham. 1 Peter mentions Noah. 2 Peter mentions Flood and Lot. 1 John mentions Cain and Abel. Jude mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. And Revelation mentions Sodom, Gomorrah, and the tribe of Judah, and many more other references in that book. But as you can see, they're not quoting again parables, good stories, good moral character. They're saying, hey, these things happened, and we're comparing it to what's going to happen or what is happening now. Because why? They believe that the stories were real and are going to come be fulfilled even in future times. So this brings the credibility of Genesis to a T. We have to hold that up. Okay, credibility of Genesis. If nearly every other book quotes Genesis or refers to it or alludes to it, if we don't believe what happened in Genesis, can we believe what happened in these stories? If all the apostles speak of it, Peter, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, James, the author of Hebrews, John, it said, if they're alluding to it, can we believe what they say if this book didn't occur? And the last thing, if Jesus says if you don't believe the words of Moses, neither will you believe my words. He also says to the road Emmaus, the two people on the road of Emmaus, he says, hey, he opens up their eyes to the scriptures, their heart to understand. And then he says, starting from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, he started from Moses, which means the first five books, and he shared about himself so that they would understand. He's going back. Now, if Genesis wasn't credible, wouldn't that make Jesus' credibility on the stand? Wouldn't that make it shaky? It would. So if Jesus believes that these are real stories and he shares them, and we don't believe it, then we would be questioning Jesus. But because Jesus is questioning, or because Jesus is using these and alluding to these and quoting these, we can have faith in them. So we're going to go over them. We're going to talk about them. And next, we're going to go over evolution and creation, show you some differences and why it can't be, why the two views can't go together. So thank you for joining us on this podcast of Die Hard Discipleship. This is where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.